What I'd like to ask you to do today is to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 33 through 40. Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 40. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jesus' foundation of compassion and his compassion for humanity. And now we're going to look at the disconnect for us, basically, for lack of a better way of putting it. Why we struggle and why we fail so often to be compassionate. If you're there in Mark chapter 9, follow along with me, please, as I read verses 33 through 40. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them. "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us." Let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now and we place ourselves at your feet. We ask that you would speak to us, that you would teach us, not just head knowledge or guidance on how to change our behavior. We don't seek that. Lord, we seek that you would give us wisdom in our hearts, that you would give us a change in our lives through your word, your living word, Lord. We pray that it would confront us, that it would challenge us, that it would encourage us, and that you would speak into our lives words that change us and create us to be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could come up with a word that is the opposite of compassion, or a word that is what gets in the way of our ability to be compassionate. Fortunately, I don't have to come up with it myself. There's a lot smarter men out there than I am. But I am smart enough to go and read books that challenge my thoughts. And the one word that I would say that came out of a study on compassion that I did a number of years ago that cut me to the quick is the word competition. I would like to declare and to argue that the primary thing that gets in our way of being compassionate is competition. That doesn't sound quite right when we first say it, does it? But consider this. Consider a kid in high school or, God forbid, middle school, where cool is everything. Where how your peers look at you and view you as your self-worth, and if you get saddled up with the wrong type of person as a friend, that can have disastrous consequences for your entire year. Imagine. So now you find somebody and they're a good soul. You know, they've got a good heart, they're not hard to get along with, they're pretty easygoing. But they've got a liability, and that liability is that everybody knows they're a little geeky, or they're a little nerdy, or they're a little just, you know, they're just not cool. That kid is just not cool. And you know that your chances of being cool relate quite greatly to who you are around, who your friends are. So if you hang out with this child, this boy or this girl, your cool meter drops. And so because of that, this person who maybe is friendly to you, maybe is kind to you, all of a sudden, you shun them, or you're mean to them, or you brush them off, you push them away. You would rather not associate with that person and would rather associate with people who maybe don't really care for you, aren't really nice to you, but everybody in school knows they're cool. Tell me you haven't seen that happen. Tell me you haven't done that in your life at some point or another. Tell me kids don't do that today. Where did the lack of compassion for a friend come from? Competition. Not wanting to get lumped in with them. I want to be cool. I don't want to be like this person. If I'm around this person, if I play with this person, if I eat lunch with this person is going to drag me down in the eyes of our peers. And so we can be harsh to them. And I would say that to be a friend, to get past all of the peer pressure stuff would take compassion in a person's heart. That competition gets in the way. Competition can get in the way of compassion in a lot of other ways than that. We see it here with Jesus and the disciples. They're coming into Capernaum, and they get into a house, and when they're there, and Jesus asks them, "What were you all talking about on the way?" They don't want to say, and that's okay because he already knows what they were talking about. They don't want to say because they had a very long discussion about which one of them was the greatest. They were all sitting there talking about which one of them was the greatest among the 12 disciples. We don't know what criteria they were using. We don't know what standards, you know, were they talking about which one looks the best, which one does the most, which one's the nicest, which one's the cleanest? We don't know. All we know is they were trying to figure out which one was the top dog. Right after Jesus, which one of us is the best? That's what they were discussing. And so they don't want to say. And what is that? What is it about them that they're all wondering who's the best? Isn't that competition? You know, when you got different churches in a city and they're all trying to figure out how can we do things that are a little bit different than the other church so that people will come to our church, what do you call that? That's called competition. When you have people saying, well, we need to do something to get people here. We need to do this or that. Oh, you know what the church down the street's doing? You want to believe it? They're going to truck in a bunch of snow for Christmas Eve service. Oh, wow. We need to do something like that. Then we could get some people coming here. That's competition. When we start comparing and guessing and trying to figure out how to one-up one another or we start getting jealous, you know, you don't even have to be trying to figure out how to overdo somebody else. You can just bog yourself down with, man, that Sunday school class over there or that Bible study over there, everybody that comes to the church that's new always ends up in that class. Why don't they come to our class once in a while? We're good people. We have good discussions. Why don't they come over here? Why does that class always get them? That's competition right at the root of our hearts. And it's that question of trying to be the best. And who doesn't want to be the best? I mean, maybe I don't really care if I'm the best of this or that, but I sure do want to be the best at something. Who doesn't down deep want to achieve and overcome and do great things? It's in our nature to do that. But it's really a bad thing when that desire to do great and to overcome means overcoming other people and being greater than other people and pushed and lifting ourselves up by pushing other people down. That competition. So Jesus sits down and he calls the 12 to him and he wants them to understand the difference between the way they view the world and the way he views the world. And he tells them, anybody who wants to be first has to be last of all and servant of all. He says, you want to be the greatest disciple here? You become the least disciple here. You want to be my greatest disciple ever? Become the greatest servant of all the other disciples ever, and that's when you'll make it. And then he brings to them a child, and he sets the child before them, and that's a word for a little child. And taking that little child into his arms, he says to them, "And whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. Whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me." And what he's trying to do is he's trying to clue them into a completely different view. How often do we do things that are charitable because we think that's going to help us? Now, how often do people go and collect food for the needy or do this activity, that activity? And part of it's, well, we want to be a good Christian, or we want to achieve certain notoriety, or we want to make sure that we're caring for people and we're considerate and we're looking after the needy, because by golly, that's what the Bible said we're supposed to do, and so we're going to go out and do it. Even some of the best things that we do sometimes can come from the worst desires. And he says, you got to give it all up. You got to become a servant. And he says, not only that, it's not just that you're serving a certain person. When we get to the point where we serve people and we accept or we receive, we take into our lives a child like this in his name, we receive Jesus. He's saying we're serving Jesus. And when you serve Jesus, you're not really serving Jesus, you're serving God the Father. And this is the thing about Jesus' view. This is why he had such great compassion. For one thing, he wasn't in competition with anybody. He wasn't in competition at all. He would be like, if this isn't even a very good, let's say Michael Jordan. I would say am I showing my age by saying he's still the premier basketball player? Do I need to move on to guys that get into legal trouble? Let's say he went into my playroom at my house where we have a 4-foot-tall basketball hoop. Now, do you think he's going to worry about showing his great stuff against my kids? Of course not. There's no competition. All he can have is compassion on my children. Wow, your dad doesn't know how to dribble. I'm sorry. Compassion, you know. I can dribble a little bit as long as I'm watching the ball. There's no competition. He is so great compared to their abilities, and the playing field is so skewed, there's no competition. We would think he was a complete fool if he would go in there and try to body check my 5-year-old son and go to the rim with the little Nerf basketball. That would just be insane. That's God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, walking around with human beings. There is no competition. He knows exactly who he is, he knows exactly who sent him, and he knows exactly why he is here. And he is looking around at people who are like sheep without a shepherd. They are tormented, they are tried, they are troubled. All he wants to do is say, come unto me, I will give you rest. Just come to me, and I will fill up what is lacking in your life. No, the difference is, see, we operate in competition. Especially if we think, well, we can get ahead of somebody here or there. We can kind of outdo them here or there. And what he's encouraging us to do is give up the competition. Instead of looking at a person as somebody who maybe is competing with us for resources or needs, competition isn't just trying to get over somebody. You know, if you have something you were planning to do today, and somebody else is calling upon you to give up your time for them, whether or not you have the compassion to care for them has everything to do with how much they're competing with you for your time and how much you're willing to give it up for them. If you have money that you are hoping to use for yourself and you know somebody who is in need, all of a sudden there's a little bit of competition going there, isn't there? What I wanted to do versus what they need. And that question of, will I take what I have and use it to help? Or am I going to say, no, this is mine. And by golly, I deserve a little bit of rest and relaxation, and I'm going to use it. See how competition all of a sudden? Some of you weren't following me until just now. You didn't have any thoughts of, well, I'm in competition with that class or this class. But you see where competition starts coming in? The things we have, the things we own, everything around us. It's either mine and I'm going to use it, or I'm going to share it freely. Jesus came, he was a servant. A servant is somebody who does not look to their own needs, but to the needs of their master, to those who they serve. I love the little interchange in the very beginning of Gladiator. That's been over 10 years, I guess, since that movie came out. Russell Crowe movie, where he's asking his slave, what do you do in life? And his slave says, well, sometimes I get to do what I want to do. Most of the time I do what I have to do. When you're a servant, you don't get to declare, I'm waking up now, I'm going to bed now, I'm going out now, I'm going to eat now. When you're a servant or a slave, you do as your master tells you. Jesus even illustrated for us our relationship to God, in that he was talking to his disciples and to the people, and he said, which of you, if you had a servant who was out working the field, would come in and you would say, here, sit down, let me get you food? He says, no, the servant would come out of the field and you would say to him, get changed, serve me, and then you can eat. The servant serves according to the master's will. And so as he's calling us to be servants, he's saying basically that we would give up our desires and our plans. Not saying you have to give everything up, but just that you would recognize, if you've got $5 in your pocket and you drive up to a street corner and somebody's out there with a can or a bucket or whatever they got, it doesn't even have to be a homeless person. Say the fire department's out there trying to fill a boot. Can we at least recognize that maybe in our heart we might think, I could give this away, but I'd rather use it for myself in this area. And that's a little bit of competition. And that's where the lack of compassion comes from. I'm not saying that we got to get to the place where we stop doing this. Or I'm not saying you've got to, every time you realize you're in competition, that you automatically submit everything you've got to it and give it all away. I'm just saying, let's recognize and see what's at the root. If you gave everything, I guess you could say that if you gave everything away, God would still come in and provide for you. There's a difference between righteousness and following God and just being foolish. You know, like the guy who's in the water and he's drowning and he's praying to God that God would come and save him, and God sends a rowboat. And the guy says, or a rowboat comes by and the guy says, no thanks, I'm waiting for God to save me. And then a helicopter comes. Boy, I'm ruining this joke, aren't I? No, I'm waiting for God to save me. Finally, a luxury cruise line ship passes by and they want to throw him a lifeline. He says, no, I'm praying to God, he'll save me. And then the man drowns and he's in heaven. He says, God, I was praying for you and you didn't save me. God said, well, I sent you a rowboat, a rescue helicopter, and a cruise line. What do you want? I'm not expecting that we would all leave today and start giving everything we've got because we're saying, well, I don't want to be in competition. I'm sorry, certain amount of the money that the Lord has given me, I'm keeping and I'm using. I'm going to buy my kids food. I'm going to pay my mortgage. I'm going to keep them dressed. There's a reality that we live in. But we got to realize where that root of our actions and our attitudes come from. You know, the boxing up a box of stuff. Compassion, giving for somebody else, having that feeling in deep in your stomach that you care about somebody else and their needs or their desires or their lacking. That comes from, and what that results in is going and giving up of your time and a little bit of your money and putting it together. That's what Jesus is calling us to. And when we do that for another person, we're not doing it just for that person. We're doing it for him. And when we do it for him, we're not just doing it for him. We're doing it for God the Father. And so there really shouldn't be any competition, because everything we have comes from the Lord himself. He provides our every need. He will continue to provide our every need. If we will just trust him, he will provide us even more than we need. He's not stingy. He loves to bless abundantly if we'll trust him. Here's another way that compassion just gets blown out of the water by competition. This one makes me sick. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw..." I don't know why John even brings this up. I'm surprised this isn't Peter, to be quite honest. I'm shocked at John. "We saw someone casting out demons in your name. We tried to prevent him because he was not following us." Well, he wasn't on our team, so we weren't going to help him, and we tried to make him stop. You want to talk about crazy lack of compassion? The man is casting out demons. He is setting people free from demonic possession. Well, by golly, we tried to stop him. He wasn't part of our team. That would be like, you know, church is saying, "Well, we, you know, hey, that church over there has got a bus ministry, so we hijacked and slashed their tires because they're not part of us. They're not with us. We're going to make sure they don't do that kind of stuff. We want all that kind of praise," you know. Isn't that insane? And so Jesus' answer was, "Don't hinder him. There's no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me." He says, "They're serving me. It doesn't matter if he's not following around with us." You know, they're so focused on who's the greatest among the 12, they don't even have place for anybody to do anything outside of God or outside of the 12 disciples. If he's not working through us, surely he can't be working through somebody else. Jesus says, "No, if he's not against us, he's for us. If he's casting demons out in my name, he's serving me." How often do we allow competition even get in the way of doing good things? I didn't get a hold of one, but I came real close to bringing out the budget. If you got a budget, a copy of the last treasurer's report in our last ministry conference, I hope you still have it. Go home and look at it. I want to challenge you to do something. Look at that and highlight everything that you can tell is not a line item specifically designed for the church itself. And count up how much money we have budgeted and we have used as a church for things that just come back to us versus things that go outside of us. And see how we're doing. And if you'd like a budget, I can get you a copy if you want to do this little experiment. Look and see how we as a church are doing. Where does our compassion lie? Because every single dollar that comes in here, it's under competition. Is it going to be used for Sunday school classes or Bible studies? Is it going to be used for cleaning? Is it going to be used for the building? Is it going to be used for staff? Is it going to be used for worship? Is it going to be used for benevolence? What's it going to do? Isn't it a shame when churches can get to the point where they're so focused on trying to get one another's members that they're not trying to spread the gospel at all? Competition. What stops us from being compassionate to people? A lot of times it's just downright, for one way or another, the word comes down to competition. Whether it's, "I don't want to be associated with you because you're going to pull me down." Whether it's, "I really want to use this for myself and I don't care about those orphans over there in Haiti." Whether it's, "We really need..." Wouldn't it be nice if we had nice gold covers on the pews, maybe on the pew backs? I bet you we could afford that. I'm getting a little bit in the ridiculous, but you see what I'm talking about. Jesus didn't have this problem because he wasn't in competition with anybody. In fact, he was the greatest servant that has ever lived. And what he calls us to is to be servants. And this isn't you need to start behaving this way. This is try to recognize and see in your heart and in your life how you live and why you make your decisions. There are some things out there that, you know, we're not going to participate in. There's just too many things in the world to participate in everything. But to figure out what God is calling you to do and calling us as a church to do. And then to realize and see in our lives, am I overwhelmed with my own desires that I have no compassion for anybody else? Am I so focused on myself that I don't care about the other person? Am I so focused on my desires and my will that the way other people are, I try to make them change? Compassion can even just be accepting the person that's the way they are, even if they dress different than you'd want them to, or they act different than you want them to. And just accepting them and letting them be with you, worship with you, serve with you. Getting rid of that competitive attitude. I'm not trying to say, let's change our behavior. I'm saying, let's take stock of our heart. And let's see those areas maybe where we need to allow the Holy Spirit to change us just a little bit. That we would be less competitive, more compassionate. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you do not have any feelings of competition with us. We thank you for your great compassion in our lives, that you give us freely so much. And we can't come close to repaying you, or you don't ask us to. You don't call us to. We pray, Lord, that we would have the same attitude that you have for us. Like the master who forgave his servant such a great debt, just to have his heart break when he saw his servant be unwilling to forgive another servant a smaller debt. You have given us so much, and you have forgiven us so much, Lord. It's a shame that we still squabble over such little things, that we would still spend our time wondering who's the greatest, that we would still spend our time trying to stop other people from serving and from blessing. We pray instead, Lord, that we would take the grace that you've given us and the forgiveness that you've given us, and that we would share it with others. That we would send out a blessing from all that you've provided us, Lord. And we pray for your Holy Spirit's guidance, that you would convict us in our hearts in those areas where you are calling us to be more compassionate. Maybe that you would just show us where we are allowing the basic competition to get in the way of serving you. We pray, Lord, that you would make the change in our lives, that we wouldn't try to force it on ourselves or take on a mantle that doesn't fit properly, but instead that we would allow you to change our hearts, that we would grow more and more like you every day. And we ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.